The General Services Administration has released its next-generation telecommunications solicitation. The Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions RFP could produce contracts worth $50 billion over 15 years and will replace the current networks contract by 2020. Diana Gowan is a principal at Deepwater Point Consulting and a veteran of the federal telecom battles. She joins me now with more on EIS. Diana, great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you for having me.
All right. So EIS and to some extent networks have really changed the game from the days when the FTS contracts were trying to get long distance below 5 cents a minute.
Well, and they certainly did that, didn't they? It's interesting when you think back to how much change has happened since those days. And when I was thinking on this, I said, wow, FTS 2000 had about 9 products that were mandatory, and networks had over 50. And it did have co-location, and so there was some data center kind of stuff, but no cloud on it. And cloud was, of course, added later. And then we look at EIS, and it's got about 20-plus products, but 5 mandatories and catalogs and a lot of emphasis on managed services and really a lot of emphasis on security. So there's been quite a transition over those 20-plus years. And but when I think back on it, TDM voice, traditional long distance, is still there. And I think that amazes a lot of folks.
So when you say traditional long distance, that means using the regular old switched network as opposed to everything going to...
Yes, the regular switched voice network. And, of course, you do not have to, in the middle of the call, use that regular traditional voice switch network. You can be using an IP core or an MPLS core, but on the ends, you're picking up a traditional telephone and you're making a traditional call. And, you know, 20-plus years after FTS 2001, you still have federal agencies that are doing that. And that, to me, is one of the amazing things.
So if you look at the EIS RFP, does it look to you as if the government actually did the homework it says it did with industry in trying to make this something that's up to date and in tune with what industry is offering other industry?
I think they did the best job they could of doing that. They had lots of dialogue with industry, and when you look at EIS, it has a big emphasis on managed services. It still has to provide the government customer with continuity from old contracts to new contracts, so it has old traditional services as well as a broad array of new products and services and a vision to the future, at least a nod with the words where they want innovation and they hope that the carriers and other participants will be bringing on things like software-defined network and network function virtualization later on. But, you know, that's something that carriers are just introducing into their networks today. So having that available for all customers to be able to do their own provisioning is still a few years out in the future, but GSA has looked at that as being the future and certainly hopes that those kinds of services will be introduced over time.
We're speaking
so I think they've done a good job of engaging industry and trying to be forward-looking, but they also have the continuity responsibility.
All right. We're speaking with Diana Gowan. She's a principal at Deepwater Point Consulting and veteran of these telecom battles. And so looking at the RFP, does it and what you said with respect to what the traditional carrier type companies are now introducing into their networks, products that EIS is calling for, what will the bidder list look like, do you think? it sounds like it won't be just the traditional telecom companies once again.
Well, I think that it will absolutely not be just the traditional telecom companies. You know, systems integrators will be playing this time, and some smaller telecoms will be playing, I feel sure. And, you know, there's rumors that the non-traditionals like Google will be there as well. And certainly they've all been participating in the big government forums that they've had throughout the summer. So, and GSA is really allowed with EIS for many of the non-traditionals to participate because you have only five mandatory services that you have to bid. And 25 of the top 100 CBSAs. So that allows, you know, non-traditionals to participate, and I know they will.
So the non-traditionals then could use as subcontractors on their bids the people that would have been the primes 25 years ago on this.
Well, they certainly will have pieces and parts of traditional carriers' things as part of their offering, so absolutely. And you'd be surprised, there are probably some who have their own indigenous capability, and they are not buying from carriers, but they are doing it all themselves.
And what do you think will have to be on the winning bids in order for this new contract to take over from networks ahead of time, as opposed to what we've seen on the last three rounds over decades, which is long extensions of the older contracts?
Oh, well, I think we're going to see a long extension of networks, Tom. But I know GSA has a new team in there, and they right now are really working hard to figure out how they move transition along. But, you know, the government is a huge, huge entity, and, you know, it's like the big aircraft carrier, getting it to move around is really tough. So I think that's GSA's biggest challenge, is getting agencies to put out their task orders in a timely fashion and then get these task orders awarded and transitioned or transform their old telecommunications capabilities. That was something that we talked about a lot with networks. You know, don't transition from old technology in FTS to old technology in networks. And, you know, that's a mantra again. But GSA told us at actually a luncheon a couple of weeks ago that after they have discussed this with a lot of the CIOs say, we don't have the dollars to do transformation. We need to just get on with moving from the old contract to the new contract. So the good news there is at least they've engaged with the CIOs. The CIOs have it on their radar screen as something that they have to put into the process and start thinking about changing from one contract to another. And so even though there has been an extension of networks to 2020, unlike from FTS 2001 to networks, I think the CIOs are engaged, and I think that's an important ingredient here.
All right. Well, this is going to be interesting to watch it unfold. Diana Gowan is a principal at Deepwater Consulting. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.